Hey, man. Boy, it's nice to hear those old hymns with some pep in their step. Isn't that awesome?
Art would approve.
Yes, art approved music. On the Jericho Road. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let there always be joy in your heart, because no matter the circumstance, no matter where you are, there is light in the world. There is a Savior. There is one who came to this earth to be light. And there's a world deeply, deeply in need of light. There is a world lost and blind and confused. And Jesus did, on the Jericho Road, meet a man in deep, deep need. In Mark 10, verses 46 through 52, it says, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me!' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man. 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus. 'Your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to see that? Do you want to be able to walk along the road with Jesus? Don't you want to go down that path with him? Don't you want to be walking right by his side? Don't you want to be there and look as Bartimaeus is saying, "Have mercy on me"? Don't you want to be there when Jesus looks at him and says, "What do you want? What is it you want?" "I want to see." Don't you want to be there when that man who's been blind on the roadside and is broken receives the word from Jesus, "Go. Your faith has healed you"? Don't you want to be there as Bartimaeus starts walking right next to you and following Jesus down the road? It's not something that has to be an idea. It's not something that has to be like a fuzzy concept in your mind where you close your eyes and try and picture the story. Because this can be your story every day. This can be your story every day. As we look at this, the one thing that I noticed right off the bat is the importance of recognizing lordship. Realize that? You have to recognize the lordship. See, when Bartimaeus calls Jesus son of David, it's not just talking about his lineage, right? Like, if I walked up, I was told as a kid that I was related to the president John Adams. Okay? That's my dad's way of trying to get me to study, I think. But let's just use it as an example, okay? If someone walked up and said, Jonathan, son of John Adams. We'd be like, oh, really? Like, President John, you're descended from John Adams? Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's pretty awesome. That's cool trivia. Are you going to make me president? No. It's just my lineage, right? That's all it's saying. All you say when you say son of, just like Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, is guess what? Bartimaeus is Timaeus's kid. It doesn't mean anything more than where you came from. But you see, with the descendants of David, there was a promise that came. And a promise that came through one specific descendant. I'm going to read you Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. And you're probably going to recognize this from Christmas programs past in your lifetime. But it is a verse that very clearly displays the promise that was to come through the descendant of David. It says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoicing at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, I want you to understand something. As we look at this prophecy, what Bartimaeus is saying is, I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you are the one that came. I believe that you are the one that will restore the kingdom of David, that you will be the one that will reign eternally. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. He wasn't talking about his lineage. He wasn't pointing out that he was a descendant of... Do you know how many descendants David would have had by that point? He lived over 800 years before Jesus. 800, let's just say every generation, every 50 years. That's a lot of generations, isn't it? It's also part of the reason that Joseph and Mary could be descendants of David and be poor. Because of the fact that there were so many descendants of David. There were many who could claim lineage. But there was only one that would be the Messiah. There was only one that was promised. And Bartimaeus, as he's looking at Jesus, is saying, "Ah, here's the light in the darkness. Here's the hope." You see, the reality is that there are many, many people in our world today that are in need of this light. Many of us came to Jesus because we recognized we were broken, didn't we? We didn't come to Jesus because we're like, well, I'm in good shape, and Jesus looks like a good shape kind of guy, so I need a good shape kind of guy savior. We recognized we were broken. We looked at our world and we said, man, these things that I keep turning to, that keep trying to make myself feel better, they just keep breaking me worse and worse and worse, and I don't want it. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be like that. And so we said, I need something. I need mercy. I need grace because I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to survive this life the way I've been living it. Many of us came to Christ because we watched our worlds fall apart. All of these walls that we built up of protection, our financial walls, our health walls, all of these things that we built up to try to save ourselves from the world around us started crumbling. People all around right now are crumbling because they are so convinced that this coronavirus is going to kill them, it's going to kill their loved ones, it's going to, that they are in a state of panic and fear. You can't find toilet paper. When in the world did you ever think you'd live through a time where there'd be no toilet paper? You know, I grew up in a time where there was so much abundance of toilet paper that we used it to throw on people's trees and houses when we were angry at them. It doesn't happen. It's the amount of hysteria, the amount of fear in our world right now is there for a reason. And you know what that reason is? Because people don't have Jesus. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they are terrified of losing their life because something inside of them is telling them, I am broken, and if I die, if I go, nothing good can be on the other side of this. I had a friend tell me the other day that there's nothing as scary as thinking of not existing. I would have to agree to disagree because there's something much scarier than not existing. That is existing without a relationship with God. That is existing for eternity where God has been separated from you. And all the love, all the joy, all the peace, all the hope that God provides disappears. And for all existence, you are in a place where there is nothing. There's a lot of people that need to be afraid because they need Jesus. They're dark and they're in darkness. And this was the truth for Bartimaeus. He looked at his world and he said, man, I can't see. I don't know how to walk. I don't know where to go. I don't have any hope of understanding my world and figuring out how to navigate it. Does that sound familiar? That's all of our stories. Some of us may lie to ourselves and convince ourselves we got something different and had some plans figured out, but we are all blind people stumbling around in this world without God. And so Bartimaeus walks into this and he says, you know what? Man, I need Jesus, because this is the only hope I've got. It's the only chance that I have of going from darkness into light. And in doing this, and in dealing with this situation, he faces some pretty big hardships. See, Bartimaeus gets hindered by men in two ways. Two very important ways. The first is that he needed someone to guide him to Jesus, but there was no one there to help. Now, I want you to think about this, right? We just talked about, wouldn't you want to be walking next to Jesus? Wouldn't you want to be there to experience Bartimaeus receiving his sight? There were so many people in Jericho at that point. Listen, people are becoming convinced of Jesus. Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem. He is about to have people throwing their coats and palm branches in front of him, screaming out, Hosanna in the highest. He is about to be declared the King of Israel by the people. He is about to freak out the Jewish establishment, who are afraid that him being declared king will cause the end of the world as they know it. All of these things are coming true. And so you've got people following him with this huge sense of expectation and excitement. As believers, that's where we should be. There should be a huge sense of expectation and excitement. We should be excited about who Jesus is. We should be excited about how he's working in our lives. We should be excited about his love, grace, and mercy. We should be willing to share it with anybody who will listen to us. Anyone who will open their ears long enough for us to proclaim Jesus as Lord and the only way to provide hope. Should be screaming it from the rooftops. But we should also be reaching towards others. See, these people were so consumed with being around Jesus that they missed him. Do you realize that? They were so consumed with being close to Jesus that they had missed his purpose. How many times had Jesus healed people? I mean, we've just got a short little clip in Mark. Mark is the shortest gospel. I picked it because it's the simplest. And yet, how many times have we watched Jesus heal? How many people have we already seen him heal? And as this man is crying out, as Bartimaeus is crying out, who should be the first ones to bring him to Jesus? The people following him. They should be the first ones ready to step in and say, come on, get up. We're going to Jesus, you and me. I'm going to take you. Brothers and sisters, we can get so consumed with churching that we forget what our real purpose is as believers of Jesus Christ. We can get so focused on our Bible studies. We can get so focused on our church activities. We can get so focused on insulating ourselves in our church family. And I'm not saying don't be a part of our church family. I want to be clear. We need to be together. We need to be strengthening each other. Right? Did not the preacher say in Hebrews, encourage one another while it is still called today? We need each other, okay? Every one of us needs every one of us. But what I'm telling you is that I've watched throughout my lifetime this idea of a Christian bubble building where we hide in our Christian music, we hide in our Christian culture, we hide away from the world, and there's people out there screaming, I need help. God, I don't know where you are, but show yourself to me and help me because I'm broken. I watched a video this week at work. There was a young man that survived trying to commit suicide off the Golden Gate Bridge. We were having a class on suicide awareness. And he was on a bus. And he was about to get off that bus. And as he was there, he just stopped right at the door. And he said, I was waiting. I was hoping that someone would ask me what's wrong. I was hoping that someone would say, are you okay? Is everything okay? What's going on? And what he got instead was a bus driver going, hey, kid, get off the bus. I've got a route to keep. And as he started to step down off the bus, one of the passengers goes, what's wrong with that guy? And laughs. This man walked out and climbed up on the side of the Golden Gate Bridge, and he jumped off. And he said the whole way down, all he felt was regret. All he felt was this immense sense of what a huge, huge mistake he had made. And as he hit the water, it shattered his legs all the way up to his tailbone. And as he was plunging deep in the water, all he could think is, I don't want to die. And he paddled as hard as he could to get back up. to the surface. There's so many people in our world that are crying out. So many people in our world that are looking for light, looking for hope. All these guys had to do was turn and go, I hear him crying out for mercy. Hey, what's going on, man? What's happening? Are you okay? Is everything okay? I'm blind and I can't see. I know where light comes from. That's who we can be in our world, but we have to be aware. We have to be in the world and not of the world, right? That's what Jesus prayed for us. And we have to be aware of our surroundings. Looking at people to see, do they look like they're hurting? Do they look like they're in pain? Do they look like they need someone to care for them? Becoming light in the world. See, if these people had been less focused about just walking next to Jesus and more focused on bringing people into the crowd, good things would have happened for Bartimaeus sooner. Amen? Bartimaeus needed someone to walk alongside him. He needed someone to encourage him. He needed someone to come and step in and to say, I'm going to be there with you. Have you guys ever faced a situation where you've basically been told to shut up? There's something about human nature that if you feel like you're making a fool out of yourself, that the tendency is to say, like, you know what, I'm just going to step out of it, right? I'm just, oh, well, okay, oops, you know. If your family or your friends go, look, you're getting out of control, you're making a fool of yourself, the natural instinct is to step back and say, oh, I got to stop this, I can't keep doing this. And how much more so for a guy like Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus completely relied on his community. At the time, there was nothing for him. There was no clothes for him. There was no food for him. There was no work for him. The only way that Bartimaeus survived was by begging. And if you upset your community and you can't take care of yourself, guess what happens? People stop feeding you. People stop clothing you. Bartimaeus was in a very, very difficult situation. Very difficult situation. And he needed someone to encourage him. What if one person had stood up and said, Bartimaeus, I need help. Bartimaeus needs help, Jesus. Bartimaeus needs help, Bob. Bartimaeus needs help. Say it. Nope, say it. Bartimaeus needs help. Tom, Bartimaeus needs help. Let's keep saying it. Mike, Bartimaeus needs help. All of you, say it. Bartimaeus needs help. Bartimaeus needs help. Now everybody, Bartimaeus needs help. How much more likely is Jesus to hear what's going on? One encourages another, encourages another, encourages another, encourages another, encourages another. And you go from a place where it's just one voice crying out in a crowd to an entire crowd crying out to Jesus. Do you guys get that that's what prayer is? Yep. Bartimaeus needs help. There are hundreds of thousands of millions of people who are Bartimaeus. And there is a whole world trying to hinder them from coming to Jesus. There's a whole world out there trying to give them a million different reasons why they should just shut up and be quiet, why they should just keep doing what they're doing and not worry about it, why life should just continue down the path that it has always been on. Listen, I understand we want to make a good impression, and we should. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12 tells us to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, and to work with our hands. And so we need to not be people that intentionally stir up conflict, okay? But we need to be a people that are willing to stand up and speak for what is true. We need to be a people who are willing to encourage people to find the truth so that when others are trying to shut down what God's doing, we're standing up together. And it starts with one, and it builds to another, and it builds to another, and it builds to another. And God's people stand up, and we say that the Bartimaeus of our world need help. Fearlessly and boldly. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened to sin's deceitfulness. Satan is constantly lying to us, constantly telling us what we can't do, where we can't be, what we're not capable of, and he's constantly trying to hold us in a place of oppression. And Jesus came into this world to be light, to set an example, to give hope. You know what gave me hope every Sunday? Was walking through that door and seeing Hilda sit there. If you didn't know how bad Hilda hurt, how bad her legs hurt, how sometimes she'd scream in pain as I had to help her bend her leg to get it in the car, but she didn't care. She wanted to do it. You know why? Because she understood how much she meant to each and every one of you. And she understood how much she needed each and every one of you. If you think you don't matter, if you think being here doesn't matter to other people, you are wrong. You are 100% wrong. Each and every one of you impacts who we are as a church each and every Sunday. Just because you're not here to see it doesn't mean it doesn't make an impact. God promised to give us the strength to do the things he calls us to do. He needed people to walk alongside of and encourage him. Now, thankfully, Jesus makes up for our shortcomings. Isn't that a good thing? I love the fact that Jesus was able, with Bartimaeus, to fix the situation. Because what was supposed to happen was people were supposed to bring him to Jesus. And they didn't. And so Jesus stops, and I want you to notice what he did. He said, call him. It doesn't say Jesus stopped everything, pushed the crowd out of the way, and said, I got you, Bartimaeus. It doesn't say that Jesus was the one that went. Jesus made them do what they should have done in the first place. Jesus made them do what they should have done in the first place. Call him. And then people walk over. Then all of a sudden, it's like they realize, I got you. Oh, he's calling for you. And then they help him. And then they guide him to where he's supposed to be. Then the focus is what it's supposed to be on. Jesus was there and available. But he has called each and every one of us to go into all the world and to be the light in the world. It's not something that we just look and go, well, Jesus will take care of it. I don't want to talk to anybody on this bus because I don't want to catch the corona. No. We are supposed to be people that are searching to serve, searching to lead people to the light and to the truth. And the final thing that we see from this passage is finding healing. Bartimaeus getting to Jesus isn't the end of this story. He got there, and the healing was amazing. Amen? It's glorious to watch our Savior work. But it was only the beginning. I want you to notice something. It says, when Jesus told him, go, your faith has made you well. You've been healed. I want you to notice that it doesn't say that Bartimaeus was like, cool, thanks, man. I got to get back home. I got to get out of this coronavirus. I got to go self-quarantine for the next 2 weeks. It said he walked along the road with him. He stayed as close to Jesus as he could. The healing that he received came not with a shallow hope of, I just don't want to be blind, but with a realization that he wanted whatever Jesus had. That he wasn't just somebody that you go to ask to be healed. He was somebody that you walked alongside, somebody that you wanted to be close to, somebody that you wanted a relationship with. That's powerful, isn't it? And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. Healing in our lives only comes with faith. Do you understand that? If you want to experience the healing that God has for you, you have to put your faith in Him. You have to trust in Him to provide what He promised you that He was going to do. He started His promises with something simple to the apostles. He told them, I'm going to send someone to you. I am going to send someone to you who is going to dwell within you, who is going to guide you, who is going to help you through this life. I am going to give you my Holy Spirit. And as they were given that Holy Spirit and they became the ones who called people to Jesus, they said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is two things that were firmly and confidently promised powerfully by the Holy Spirit at the very first sermon. That you, if you want it, if you want the hope in Jesus, if you want the forgiveness of your sins, what do you need to do? You need to repent. You need to look at your life and say, I don't want to live like I used to live. I want to hate my sin. I want to walk away from it. I want my heart to be completely set on Jesus. Now, repentance doesn't mean I act perfect. Repentance means my heart is perfectly guiding towards sinlessness. That in my heart, when I sin, I hate it. In my heart, when sin takes a grip, I get angry about it and say, Lord, help me to find victory because I don't want to be that anymore. That is repentance. Repentance is saying, I want a different life, and my heart and mind are guiding in that direction. And to be baptized so that your sins are washed away. That they are no more. Did you see? Put Hilda's picture back up there. Do me a favor and put that. Look at how big's that smile? How good's that feel? Look at how much she made us smile. You know why? She knew her sins were washed away. She knew that everything was gone and the Holy Spirit was dwelling within her. That's hope. That's life. Now, many of us have believed that far. Many of us have committed our lives in baptism. We've died to ourselves, been buried, and we've risen again. And many of us are always willing to say that Jesus is Lord. But you know where we end up falling short? Is in the new life. I want to explain that. When God promises, we have a choice to trust and move in faith, or we have the choice to keep doing the things we've always done. We have the choice. Jesus promised that we are capable of rejoicing always. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. If I have a promise that I can always rejoice and I'm not rejoicing all the time, guess who's choosing not to rejoice? Me. Me. It's my problem. It's not God's. God told me He'd empower me to do it. So if I don't find a way to rejoice, I am the problem. People need to stop blaming God for the things that are going wrong in their lives. He has promised to empower you. If you trust in him to give you the power to rejoice, you will be able to rejoice. We are told to give thanks in all circumstances. Are we not? When times are good, when times are bad, give thanks. Be thankful to God for what you have. Well, I can't be thankful because the coronavirus. I can't be thankful because fill in the blank. Okay? What does God say? Give thanks in all circumstances. So guess what? If I'm not giving thanks in all circumstances, who's responsible for that? I am. Me. It's on me to put my faith in God and to believe he's capable of doing what he promised he was going to do. We are told to pray continually. That means all the time. How many of you think to yourself when you're angry, Lord, I'm so thankful I get to pray right now? When we have anger or frustration or resentment, we have a tendency to say, I can't pray right now. I just can't do it. I can't pray right now. Well, what are we told to do? Pray always. Pray continually. So guess what? If I can't pray, guess who the problem is? Me. I'm the problem. I am. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be in happy prayer. I'm probably going to have prayers like David where I'm going, God, you've forsaken me. Why did you do that to me? Why am I going through this? This doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel fair. But you know what the beauty is? The Holy Spirit can lead us out of that when we surrender our hearts to him. There's nothing God can't heal. There's nothing God is not bigger than. And when we look at our problems and we put those back on God as if he's failed us, we need to take a good long look in the mirror and ask ourselves, Lord, why am I allowing myself not to rejoice all the time? Lord, why am I allowing myself to find all the negative and not focus on the things that you've given me to be thankful for? Lord, why am I so willing still to, when I don't want to pray, not pray, rather than to step into it saying, God, I don't want to pray right now, but I know that I need to. That's the new life. That's the change of heart. That is what Bartimaeus walking down the road with Jesus represents. It represents an attitude of saying, you know what, I'm done. I am so, so done with trying to do life my way. And I just want to do it your way. Because your way brings peace. Did God say that he will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear? Sure did. Sure did. When we come to a knowledge of who the Savior is, when we declare sovereignty of Jesus in our lives, everything has the ability to change. From our attitudes, to the way we walk, to the way we talk, to the things we live out in our lives, the ways we behave in his pattern and not our own, all of that is within our grasp because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, because we have died to ourselves, been buried with him, and risen to a new life. That's a fact. If you have the light, it's yours to give. Jesus didn't say, I'll work without you, I'll work around you. He said, I'll work through you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes not will be condemned. This is the reality of the message of hope that we have. So where is your light? I'm deeply encouraged to see all of you here. I'm deeply encouraged that you love your church family and you have put your faith in God to walk through these doors and to say, even if the whole world around me collapses in fear, I will not give in to fear. I will be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. But it is only a small piece to walk through this door. The big piece is going out into that world that is scared to death and loving on them. The big piece is going out into that world and helping people understand that all they really need is to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what really matters. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the example that we see on the Jericho Road. I thank you, Lord, that Bartimaeus reveals so many important things to us about how we need to act as your believers. Lord, there's so many times that we end up being more like the crowd than like your son. There's so many times when things happen around us and we just kind of let them happen. Not out of spite or any kind of disinterest in people, but because we just aren't looking. Because we're so focused on our daily lives, we're so focused on our church studies, we're so focused on accomplishing the things in front of us that we totally and completely miss the fact that you have come and called us to be the ones that bring others to you. Lord, I pray that we will be a people that draw others to you. I pray that we will be encouragers, that we will be the ones that step into the fray and ask people to be bold, to share their faith, to be willing to step up in those places to support our young brothers and sisters who may be tempted to fall away because of the attitudes of the people around them. Lord, in everything, I pray for a tender heart. Lord, it's so easy for me, and I would assume for others, to not be as compassionate as we should when the things that others do don't make sense to us. Give us tender hearts to go into this world, to be a light and a beacon to those who need you. Lord, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for those who are in the hospital right now dealing with the coronavirus. I pray for our nation that people will not be afraid. I pray that we will live our lives in hope and love and in complete faith in you. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to learn to trust you, to overcome those places where you're in it, where our enemy tells us that we can't do what you promised we can. We're told that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Make that so. Help us to overcome and to share our faith. Lord, I pray that if there are any here today who have not made the commitment to you, who have reached a point in their lives where they recognize their sinfulness, recognize that they've broken your law, broken their relationship with you, that this is the point in their life to believe, to truly believe in you, to put their faith in you, to do so by confessing you as Lord and Savior, by being willing to die to themselves in the waters of baptism, to be buried and to rise to a new life, so that when they too reach the moment that our sister Hilda reached, that they can know with all certainty that the old hymn is true, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. Amen. Lord, we want that for everyone who is sitting here today. And I just pray that if there's any that need that, that you'll open their hearts and that they'll be ready to make that choice today. And Lord, I just pray for us all as a congregation that we'll think about the places where we might not be encouraging others the way that we should, that we aren't opening our hearts and our minds to be available to serve others as we should. Make us fruitful servants of yours so that we can one day stand before you and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in little. I will put you in charge of much." Lord, I want much in heaven. I pray that for all of us. And I pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen.